You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is God Help Us. I want you to start by turning to the book of Psalm chapter 104, beginning with verse 1, and then we're going to move to the right through the New Testament. But I want us to look today at the phrase, God help us, and then we're going to break it down into three words. And the phrase, God help us, is kind of, you know, it's kind of one of those deals if your daughter meets some guy you're not crazy about and they say they're going to get married. It's kind of one of those things parents say, God help us. Or maybe it's what a president says when acts of terrorism are perpetrated against a country and the ominous responsibility and the consequences of these things. In a cabinet meeting or in a private place, it's one of those things you just say, God help us. I mean, it's one of those deals that unless He does help us, there really is no help. But really, it ought to be something we all say every day, every step of the way, because we can't make it without Him. And the great thing about saying, God help us, and it's interesting, even in the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, He didn't teach us to pray, My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. It was Our Father. And it's give us this day. There's the difference in the word and me and my, and that's appropriate in some place in Scripture, but there's a time and a place where it's us and it's we. And one of the great things that I love about us is that it's what God set up. There is no substitute for the church. There is no new thing. And there are a lot of what we call parachurch organizations out there that do unbelievable work. And they reach people and they help people and they minister to people. But Jesus does not have a backup bride. He left and He put us here to do something that if we don't do, it will not get done. And sometimes people abandon this concept of church. And, you know, I've jokingly said and heard said, you know, church wouldn't be so tough if it wasn't for the people. But church wouldn't be if it wasn't for the people. Because that's what makes it church. And as we mix it up, you know, there are white churches in the world that can't get along. You say, well, the problem is you need the light kind need to gather. And you get white people together, they can't get along. You get black people together, they can't get along. You get Mexican people together, they can't get along. You get Asian people together, they can't get along. So we'll say, well, let's just abandon the whole thing. Let's just give up. And you can't imagine how many people I come across who claim to be at home worshiping God. And I'm not saying you can't do it at home, but that is not what God intended. If you live in China somewhere and there's not a Christian for 1,000 miles, maybe you got to worship God alone at home. But if you're at home by yourself and have not found a church, and it didn't have to be this one, get it in somewhere and get plugged in. You say, but the people, you know what? You're one of those people. And if you think a church is screwed up, part of the reason it's screwed up is because you're there. But see, it's God is the master of taking screw-ups and fixing them. And this is a very simple message today, I think, and it's something that's pretty heavy on me. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of His upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds His chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes His angels spirits, His ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth, so that it should not be moved forever. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At Your rebuke they fled. At the voice of Your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which You founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions, this great and wide sea in which are innumerable teeming things, living things, both small and great. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season. What you give them, they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Turn over the New Testament and let's start with Acts chapter 2. You start with God and then we're going to move to help. Acts chapter 2, the church is just born and something amazing happened. They helped each other. Let's start with verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. There is one thing that seemingly seems no-brainer to me, but that is kind of an overwhelming reality. You are going to be slammed into heaven with everybody. And I meet some white people, especially sometimes, and everyone saw some black and Hispanic who don't get this either. They think they're going to have their own little thing up there. And that there'll be visitation once a millennium or something where they might have to shake hands and speak to somebody of another kind. There is not going to be any distinction. It isn't going to be slave or free, or Jew or Greek, or rich or poor. And the sooner you figure this out and the sooner you begin to look at people as people and not see the shell, but to see the inside and begin to love each other, that's what the world doesn't get and they don't have and they're looking for. They're looking for a God that can help them and they can be a part of a community that will truly love each other and not just talk about love, but cross some lines and do it. These people were together, verse 44. They, all who believed, were together. And if you go back and read this story, there were people from all over the planet there at that time for this celebration. And they believed. They were completely different culturally, economically, ethnically. Even languages were different. But they were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I think what happens here, guys, is the world looks and sees this has never happened before, because up to then, Jews had stuck with Jews and Gentiles had stuck with Gentiles. Samaritans only ran with Samaritans. Everybody had their own little cultural pocket. And all of a sudden, the God of the universe descends and a person dies, is buried, raised from the dead, and the person of Jesus Christ leaves, the Holy Spirit comes, and this God starts throwing people together, and they have everything in common, and they are together, and they stay together as a community, and the world sees that and goes, something's happened. It's not just the spiritual stuff, but part of that spiritual stuff is the tangible, cultural interaction, people with people, who before would never have had anything to do with each other. I had a conversation with a man I've been after for 4 years. And he came by the office, and I think he may never come by the office again. But he came by, and his is a lifestyle issue, and I caught him out there. And I had the conversation with him again.
And I told him that Jesus loved him, that he died on the cross for him, and there's nothing he could do or no distance he could go to get away from God's love and mercy. And he said, well, I feel like what I'm doing, how I'm living, it's okay. I feel good about who I am. And I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, that may be how you feel, but I said, you may also feel like if you climbed up on the roof of this 4-story building and jumped, you could fly. But I said, you'd hit the ground like a brick because you can't fly. It doesn't matter how you feel. Some things are just true. And this God loves you, and he's not trying to make you religious. He's trying to give you a new heart. And if you get a new heart, you get a new life. You get a new lifestyle. Let him start from the inside out. And he kind of got a little uncomfortable. And finally, I looked at him and I spoke his name. I said, you know, you and I have been talking for a long time. And I said, I want one thing to be very clear in your mind when you walk away from here and you think about this conversation. Now, this is a gay man and a straight man on the street. And I looked him in the eyes. I said, I don't want you to ever question or doubt for a second that I love you. And it matters to me what happens to you. Now see, he may not ever believe, but he will never forget that I told him I loved him. And he knows I meant it. It's not a bunch of religious words. And I'm not saying I always have felt that way. There were times in my life when I was very uncomfortable with different people. But if you have that kind of love for somebody that's not like you, you don't have that by yourself. You get that from God. And God help us to discover him for who he really is and who Jesus really died for. How all-encompassing it is, and how far-reaching it is, and that if it's going to be taken to him, it's got to be taken to him by somebody, and that somebody is you and it's me. They're not going to get it any other way. The more comfortable you get with God, the more comfortable you'll get with them, because he loves them and he's after them. And even Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world that they might be saved, to forgive them, to love them. These people had everything in common. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, your reasonable act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. You are part of a body. Don't start with liking people, start with loving people. But they don't believe like I believe. They think different things about certain theological things. You know what? You either love them or you don't. And see, it's really not optional. You're supposed to love believers and you're supposed to love non-believers. So you got no out. So if you're looking for some way to get around some loophole here, you got no out. You say, well, I don't like that. The problem is you probably don't like you either. Because until you love God and you let him love you, then you love your neighbor as yourself. Most people in the world are loving their neighbor just the way they love themselves, and that's not very much. We are connected to each other. We belong to each other. Verse 4 again, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. It implies we all have a piece of this and we have to work together to get it done. Verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Really love. Don't love hypocritically and say it and then don't do it. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That sounds like a community to me. And see, people say, well, I don't want that. You don't want it till you need it. And then you come scrambling back in. You're going, help me, Jesus, help me. God, help us. Let me read you Galatians 3:26. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. No distinction.
You don't have to turn to this if you don't want to. Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then he follows up, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Have that same mindset that he had. So there's help. There's help from within the body for the body. But even more than that, in Hebrews chapter 4, he's talking here about Jesus. Hebrews 4, 14, and I know I'm skipping around here a little bit, but it's in there. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's been here. He's done this. He knows what you go through. He was tempted, but he didn't sin, but he's still been tempted. He knows what we face. Turn to John chapter 14, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And I quoted a verse a minute ago out of John 13 where he says, a new commandment I give you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Verse 35, by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So in that context, he's following along. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And then Jesus is continuing to speak there. And in verse 15 of chapter 14, let's pick it up there. If you love me, keep my commandments, Jesus said. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, a comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And we know that the Holy Spirit came. Look down in verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So you got help from God. You got help from each other in this community. And again, it gets into this whole thing of it being about us. And let's look at 1 John chapter 3. Let's start with verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. And look at these words, us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. And a capital H there referring to Jesus. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, it sounds like we're all pretty in big trouble then. Because if I had a show of hands and says, anybody sinned since last Sunday, we might have a couple of hands. This is not that you can never screw up. It's not that once you become a Christian, you can never fall, you can never sin. It's that you are not going to make a habitual lifestyle of this. And even if you try that, you're going to come back. And we have people doing what I refer to as orbiting. There are people that are here that have very tight orbits. Maybe every week they're here, they're very committed, they're very involved, they're in. Then we got other people that got like 3 out of 6 week orbits. And they come blowing through here and travel, and it's not because they don't want to be here. Maybe they just other things going on, family, trips, weddings. Then we got those interplanetary orbits. Then we got people who kind of blow through here every once in a while. And then we got the comets. And about every 17 years something happens and they come, they blaze a trail and they're here and then they're gone. Hopefully what happens, guys, is the closer you get to God, the closer you get to his people, the gravitational pull gets stronger and stronger, and you realize that it may not be about you needing us. It may be about us needing you. And when you mature and grow up, you realize, you know what, Father? I'm here not just for me. I'm here for somebody else that may show up, and I may be able to help equip somebody else to do the work of the ministry. Now keep reading with me. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness, and this is what it is about an ongoing lifestyle, is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Now guys, nobody likes these passages, but it's in here, so I'm reading it. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. So it's about your actions, and it's also about your heart. It's a relationship between you and God and how you behave, but it also has to do with how you love your brother. Believers out there in this case. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know, now look at this, verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life. How do you know that you're a Christian? You say, well, I prayed a prayer when I was six, or I was at a revival, or Billy Graham was on TV, and I prayed some prayer and called some number. I'm not questioning any of that. But how do you know if you're a part of the us in the Scriptures? Look at this. By this, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. So if I said we're going to have a little play music and play musical chairs here and we're going to move through the building and find somebody you don't love, then there's a problem. You say, that doesn't mean I'm not a Christian. Well, not necessarily. Just maybe you're not exactly seeing it the way God sees it. Yeah, but that person's rude. They smell bad. I don't like her dress. I don't like his hair. I don't like their language. That's not the question. Do you love them? He says, you'll know whether you've passed from death to life because you love the brethren. And he who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Guys, sooner or later, it's going to cost you. Christianity is very expensive from Jesus' point of view, and it's going to get expensive from your point of view sooner or later. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to lay your life down somewhere, sometime for somebody. That's part of the deal. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? And I've read you a number of these. And I'm telling you, you're going to cross some economic lines. You see somebody in trouble. You hear somebody out of work. You know they got a problem. And you don't reach out. The Bible says, how do you explain that? You say, well, that person's just a lazy bum, and I'm not going to help them. Well, at least help them with being a lazy bum then. I wouldn't put it in those words. But encourage them to get a job, maybe. And if they can't get a job, find out why. And if they really can't get a job, then you say, you know what, let me help you. Maybe I'll help carry this burden with you for a while. You say, well, that's the government's responsibility. You know what? Hogwash. That is not the government's responsibility. That is the church's responsibility. To take care of its own, at least, and beyond that, scripturally, clearly, I think it talks about this.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. Now look at verse 23 again and we're going to shut it down. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. That's the deal. To believe and to love. But you're not going to do it without him. It starts with God. It's about us helping one another. God helping us through this process, but it is about ultimately us. God, us together, working together as a community, as a body, not these random orbits where you show up and just tag in and bolt back out for a few months and think it's going to work. It is about sticking together and doing what He left us here and put us here to do. And it means crossing a number of lines to a number of different kind of people, maybe out of your comfort zone, maybe not where you choose to end up, but where He has decided that we should be. And the prayer today, and I think should continue to be, God, help us do what we're supposed to do, but before that, be who we're supposed to be in the world today.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.